Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. This is our 10th series of doing Living A Course in Miracles classes. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I'm so grateful to be your host. I'm very excited about our class today. Patricia Cota Robles was our teacher yesterday, and she picked the topic, You Are the Open Door That No One Can Shut. And she told us what that meant and how powerful we are. What a healing presence we can be if we choose to be. Very inspiring class. And I am on fire to get to our class today. So I'm going to invite you all to join with me in a prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart. I like to start each class with this tuning in. And by placing my hand on my heart, I'm consciously choosing to live from the heart, to speak from the heart. To be available from my heart. So I consciously turn it over to the higher Holy Spirit self, the mighty I am that I am. And we are grateful and thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to be led and guided by Spirit. So grateful to declare that we are willing to be a miraculous presence, a healing presence, truly helpful in this world. So grateful to declare that we are willing to be that open door for the love of God to reveal itself in our mind, in our heart, in our words, in our actions, in our life, in our very breath, in every cell fiber and function of our being. We're allowing ourselves to be our true essence, our true nature, our true identity, which is love. We are grateful and thankful to claim a healing right now of any sense that we might be something less than love or other than love. We're placing any false beliefs on the holy altar fire of divine love and allowing Spirit to burn it away. Our willingness is all that's required. We don't have to figure out how to have a healing, so we are grateful and thankful to simply accept the healing that we are calling forth. We are the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love for a holy purpose, to live a holy purpose, to be truly helpful. In deep and abiding gratitude, we share the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. We celebrate the oneness and unity of all life, and in gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Thank you for praying with me. I love it. I'm so grateful. So, you are the open door that no one can shut. And A Course in Miracles fundamentally is telling us that there's one life, one power, one presence, and we're it. We are it fully and completely. It's like Patricia and I were talking about yesterday, she talked about first cause. And A Course in Miracles tells us that first cause is God. And it says, "You who belong to the first cause, created by God, like unto himself, and part of him, are more than merely guiltless." So we're more than innocent. That's what guiltless is. We're more than innocent. We're powerful. We are here to be the light of the world. And the light lifts us all up. This is what we are to be. One of the wonderful teachings in A Course in Miracles tells us, talks about meditation. And it says, you can meditate for 100 years, and it would be helpful to you in your awakening because your intention is to awaken. But the most helpful thing that you can do in this world to help yourself be happy, be prosperous, be healthy and harmonious, to have great relationships, to have true abundance, to feel fabulous all the time, the greatest thing that you can do is to practice non-judgment. Have no judgments, have no opinions. And this is the hardest thing for us to do. To just drop the habit of interpreting things and making meaning of things. This is the hardest thing for us to do. We have been so trained for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime to be the meaning makers. And A Course in Miracles tells us that the reason why it's so hard for us to let go of the meaning we made of things is because anyone who makes anything loves what they made. They just love it. They cherish it because they made it. You know, and for instance, I gave the example one time in a class where I saw that my mother, my father, one of my parents was throwing away or just like tossing in the, you know, back of the garage or the basement or something like that in a box of junk, a dish that I had made when I was a little kid, some little pottery project in some art class and, you know, when I was 6 years old or something. And this thing that I had made and glazed and, you know, like, you know, wrote my name on it, you know, for dad or mom or whatever it said. And here now it was in a pile of junk. And the ego went, "Oh, wait a minute, this is a treasure." Now, looking at it aesthetically, it didn't look like a treasure. It looked like a mistake, even, you could say. It looked like somebody who didn't know anything about making pottery made that pot. It was true. That was me when I was 6 or 7 years old and when I made it. But to me, it was a treasure simply because I made it. And my parents were like, "Yeah, we love that. We love the memory of you as a little girl. And, you know, I had that thing on my desk for 40 years, but I don't want to keep it anymore. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to put it in a box and hold on to it forever? Am I going to take out that box and look at it again? I don't think so. I'm done with it. I enjoyed it for 40 years. I'm complete with it." But my ego was like, "How could you ever be complete with that? Don't you want to cherish that throughout eternity? I made that. There was nothing special or remarkable about it. My only attachment to it was because I made it." And this is how we are about every little judgment and opinion we have about everything. You know, that's too purple. That's too sweet. That's too salty. That's too sour. They're too tall. They're too left, they're too right, they're too whatever. All the time we're making these judgments and opinions, and these are the causes of all the suffering in the world. Because every single judgment and opinion we have is a vote for believing in separation. Now, in A Course in Miracles, and I recognize not everybody in the class is a Course in Miracles student, and I love that about these classes, because over the 5 years or so that we've been doing these classes, what people have told us is that These classes have inspired them to look at A Course in Miracles. These classes have inspired them to look at A Course in Miracles again. These classes have inspired people to actually now take the book off the shelf and begin to really look at it and think about doing the workbook lessons. And so that's part of the purpose of these classes, is that people would find these teachings and realize that while that book is a big book and it can seem very dense and challenging, when you break it down into the simple principles that it repeats again and again and again and again and again and again and again, the simple principles are life-changing when we apply them. If we're just reading them, if we're just studying them, it's not life-changing, because information is not life-changing. Information is not life-changing. What is life-changing is when we change our mind. Sometimes information is helpful in leading us to change our mind. But I can honestly say that over the last couple of decades, since I started on a spiritual path, I'm 56 now, so it was 30 years ago that I began to think about God in a concentrated way. I started going to church. I began with services of with Eric Butterworth when I was living in Manhattan, and I went to Sunday services there at Lincoln Center with Eric and Olga Butterworth for a number of years. And I did a whole bunch of things, as you might imagine. I'm a science of mind trained practitioner from the Agape community in Los Angeles. I got my practitioner license 16 years ago. I got my ministerial license 10 years ago. And I studied, between being a practitioner and a minister, 9 years of study to complete those two trainings. And now I'm training spiritual counselors, which I can tell you about later. And that's very exciting for me. I'm training and certifying spiritual counselors and supporting people who would like to be a professional spiritual counselor, just explore it, or be a better listener, better coach, a better teacher, better parent, grandparent. So people are taking the spiritual counseling certification program and my intensives. Therapists can take them for continuing education units and things like that. So I've been at this quite a while. And for many years, I had an intellectual approach to it. And so I wasn't the open door. I was very much focused in my mind, science of the mind. And I love the teachings of Ernest Holmes. I love the New Thought teachings very much. And still, it wasn't until I began to live A Course in Miracles that my heart really began to open. That's what it took for me, is that willingness to really live it, to, as I say, walk the talk and live the love, moment by moment. That became my spiritual practice. So it's looking at your spiritual life, which is your whole life, of course, but looking at your spiritual life as whatever practice you might do in the morning, in the evening, that is the foundation for the practice that you do all day long. And it's the practice that you do all day long that allows you to be truly helpful, that allows you to live a miraculous life, that allows you to be the open door. So because I have known many ministers and science of mind practitioners and spiritual teachers who they might have a very strong prayer and meditation practice, and they might be studying very intently metaphysical books and doing research about metaphysical topics, spiritual topics, mystical topics. But their practice in between their studies is filled with judgment and attack, limiting thoughts, opinions, and So they're intellectualizing their spiritual practice, and the ego is, in fact, in charge of their spiritual life. And that was me. That was me. One of the things I love so much about Patricia's work is she is inspiring us, encouraging us, and showing us exactly how to be that loving presence all the time. All the time. And to not think for one second that any moment of the day we can't be a truly helpful presence. That we are designed to be powerful, miraculous presences, and to be the salvation of the world. So in A Course in Miracles, in chapter 7, section 7, which is entitled The Totality of the Kingdom, it says, whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived, because denial is as total as love. Whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived, because denial is as total as love. So one of the principles of A Course in Miracles is that you're either being loving or you're not. And there's no kind of loving. There's no middle ground. If we're not being loving, what A Course in Miracles says is that we're actually then in attack mode. If we're not being actively loving, we're in attack mode. And if we're in attack mode, we are actively causing our suffering. So when we're in denial of love, the effect of that, Patricia was talking about the law of cause and effect yesterday. The effect of not being loving is that we are shutting the door to love in our own heart, in our own mind, in our own life. And when we shut the door to love, even for a moment, then we feel the sense of lack. Then we feel the sense of limitation. Then we feel the sense of hopelessness and despair. I can honestly say that in my classes, for instance, I have my 7-week spiritual boot camp class, Finding Freedom, which is, it's literally a kind of a boot camp class for people who would like to live A Course in Miracles. And just a practical application, we take some of the principles of the course and we apply them in many different ways throughout the day in our community, doing it together in a boot camp kind of way, and it's highly transformative. I also have a year-long class called Masterful Living, and we're doing the same thing, but it's more expansive, and it's not a boot camp because we have the whole year to really change our mind and change our lives and get into that completely new rhythm of life. So the boot camp is a great way to get you started and really launch you. And then Masterful Living is a great way to really anchor you in a way to change your life. So in doing this, this is what I've seen over and over and over again, is that people begin actively practicing being a loving presence in all the ways that I share with them that are easy to shift and change your life. And people start to live a miraculous life. They start to realize, I can live a miraculous life. I can have the kind of life I desire. I don't have to live in lack and limitation. So our willingness to recognize that when we're in opinion, when we're in judgment, we're shutting the door. We're shutting the door to being a loving, healing presence. And nothing that we desire can come when we've shut the door. Because it's being in the flow of love, living in the flow of love, and actually being the flow of love in our life that opens everything up. It opens all the floodgates. It opens all the floodgates. So, for instance, what's coming into my mind right now is Patricia, she shared, she does events 11 months of the year. So she's next month, she's got her big World Congress trip. They're doing a cruise to Alaska, and they're going to do these energetic portal openings. Fantastic. I'll be in Atlanta. So if anybody, while she's on the cruise, I'm going to be touring Atlanta and doing things in Atlanta. And I'll be letting you know about that in a couple of days. But and then every month but December and August, she is going to a different city around the United States and putting on a free event. And as I recall, it's like a couple hours in the morning, and then you break for lunch, and you come back for a couple hours in the afternoon. So it's about 5 hours total. And she's talking pretty much the whole time. She is teaching. She's throwing it down. It's fantastic. And all those events are free, you see. And she's in the flow of love. She is that open door. When I was first in ministerial school, and I had such a desire to be able to really be a beneficial presence, to be truly helpful in this world. And I thought, how am I ever going to do that? I don't know how. How will I get the word out? How will I find the way to really reach people and help them to live a miraculous life? Well, first I decided, you know what? My life is not that miraculous. I'm still so judgmental and complaining and attacking, and I've still got all these issues. I need to clean up my act first. One of the things that Patricia talked about yesterday, she said, she quoted Jesus, who said, "If I be lifted up, I draw all unto me." And to me, that's the greatest marketing principle of all time. Let me focus on drawing myself up, lifting myself up, being the light of the world. And then I will naturally magnetize and attract to me like-minded souls who are interested in doing the same thing, because like attracts like. So I made the commitment to really purify my mind and to cultivate a pristine awareness of the truth, and to be that loving presence in my own experience of talking with myself, being with myself. So being the open, loving door to myself in the way that I eat, in the way that I sleep, in the way that I bathe, in the way that I dress, in the way that I talk to myself, in all the minutes of my day, really loving myself, still working on that. Still working on that every day. Still finding little corners where, I could be more loving. Here's another place, that doesn't feel very loving. And still working on that. But that decision to, as Patricia talks about it, love myself free, that is the single thing that then changed my ministry, because once I decided to be all in for love, for being a loving presence in my own life, then people started coming towards me saying, "I'd like to know what you know. I'd like to know what you're doing. I'd like to know how you're doing it." So I began to experience more and more miracles in my life. And let me just say, A Course in Miracles makes it plain what a miracle is. A miracle is a change in your thinking from ego thinking to thinking like God thinks, like our true nature. That's the miracle. The miracle happens in our mind when we change our thinking from fear-based thinking to extending love thinking. Sharing love thinking, being compassionate. When our mind shifts from lack, attack, limitation, and separation to extending love and compassion, then the miracle has transpired. It has transpired. And then, because the miracle has happened in our mind, we begin to see it in our life. We begin to feel it in our experience. We begin to see it's happening in our relationships. One of the things that I offer is, I call it my sacred circle, and it's a spiritual counseling program. I do a call almost every week, four times a month, usually on Wednesdays. And today's Wednesday, and it's spiritual counseling, and people can ask me any question they like. And one of the things I love about my sacred circle is that in there, people are trying things out. They're testing things out. They're figuring the way. They're asking for, what about this? What about that? And then they come back with testimonials. I was willing to change my mind about this person I was having such a difficult time with. I was willing to see them differently. I was willing to forgive myself for the way I spoke to them. I was willing to forgive myself for the way I treated them. I was willing to forgive myself for thinking that they were the problem. I was willing to take responsibility. I did a whole class on responsibility. That was the class on living in joy. And that you can't live in joy until you're willing to take real responsibility, and how that actually works, because it's so valuable to understand. I know that it makes such a difference in people's lives, and they can live with so much joy when they're willing to apply those teachings. So this is what I see, is people have profound transformations in their relationships, in the healing of their mind and their emotional body, when they are applying these principles. So just studying it is not enough. So the Course says, whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived, because denial is as total as love. It is impossible to deny part of the sonship as it is to love it in part. So either we love the wholeness of the sonship. Course in Miracles calls humanity the sonship. So God is the Mother, Father, God, and the child is the Christ presence, which is what humanity is. So it's impossible to deny that part of humanity is not the Christ, is not one with us. To deny that humanity is the Christ, that humanity is one with us. If we deny that, then we're denying the unity of all life. And as spiritual students, we say all the time, I know we're all one. I know we're all one, but I still want to attack my brother. I know we're all one, but I still think that one's an idiot. I know we're all one, but I'm still afraid of this political candidate or this situation. Course in Miracles has us always coming back to ourselves, coming back again and again and again. And it says, it's not possible to love totally sometimes. So either we're committed to teaching only love, for that is what we are, or we're not actually committed at all. It says you cannot be totally committed sometimes. Reality cannot be partly appreciated. That is why denying any part of it means you have lost the awareness of all of it. And this is such an important part of it for us to understand, is that the unity of all life means that what we do to the least of them, we do to Jesus, we do to ourselves, we do to everyone. And that's what Jesus said when he walked the earth: what you do to the least of them, you do to me. He was trying to explain the oneness of all life in very practical terms. What you do to the least of them, you do to me. So whenever we're judging a brother or sister, we're judging ourselves. And so it says here, This is paragraph 2 now, and we're in chapter 7, section 7. When a brother acts insanely, he is offering you an opportunity to bless him. His need is yours. You need the blessing you can offer him. So when a brother acts insanely, well, we could say that's a terrorist. We could say that's a political candidate, right? They're acting insanely, it seems like, sometimes. When that's happening, that person is offering you an opportunity to bless them. They need your blessing, and their need of the blessing is your need also. You need the blessing you can offer to others. This is what Jesus is telling us here. He says, there is no way for you to have the blessing except by giving it. This is the law of God, and it has no exceptions. So, Patricia's talking about be the open door that no one can shut. You are already the open door that no one can shut. So, when we are living with the awareness that we are that open door, that open portal for love and light to pour into the third dimension, then we're blessing our brothers and sisters. But if we're looking at the world and thinking it's dark, it's crazy, it's insane, these people are bad and these people are wrong and these people should be punished, then we're not being the open door. We're being the chastiser. We're being the judger. And when we are the judger, we're always going to feel lack and limitation. Because in this world, whatever we send out energetically, like Patricia was talking about yesterday, it is going to be felt by us first. So if you think of, imagine that your mind and your life, your very being, is like the surface of a very still lake. And you drop a thought onto the surface of the still lake, and it ripples out. So every thought that we're thinking is like something that we're dropping onto the surface of that still lake, and it's rippling out. So if we're upset and irritated, we're dropping it, and it's going to ripple out. But if you think of yourself as being at that center point where the thought is being dropped, that's where the vibration of the thought, the impact of the thought is the strongest, right? Well, that's where the splash is the biggest. And that's where we always are. So if we're thinking a thought of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, even if we're thinking about it in terms of someone we saw on television, even if we're thinking about it, the lack, attack, limitation, and separation in terms of a character in a movie, even if we're judging a character in a movie, fictional character in a movie, when we're thinking those thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, our whole being is vibrating with it. We're invested in it. We're shining the light of God into that thought. And just like if you drop something onto that still lake, the point where it's dropped will feel the impact the greatest. We're going to feel that impact the greatest. There's no way that we can think a thought of lack, attack, limitation, and separation where it will impact someone else more than it impacts us. It will always impact us. And this is one of the things that A Course in Miracles tells us, is that you think that you can have a private thought like, that guy's an idiot, that guy who just pulled in front of you in traffic and risked everybody's life doing it, you can think that person is an idiot. But the one who's going to be impacted most by your thought is you. And what is the nature of that thought? He's an idiot. The thought is to punish. And A Course in Miracles will say in no uncertain terms that it's actually a murderous thought. It's a death wish. Now, that can seem kind of crazy. Wait a minute. I don't wish them dead. But the thought, he's an idiot, is a strong, energetic thought. And A Course in Miracles says there's no middle ground. You're either choosing love or you're choosing separation. You're choosing to be in the flow of prosperity and love and goodness and insight and wisdom and clarity, or you're choosing lack, attack, limitation, separation, suffering. There's no middle ground. And you know what? In the beginning, that just was such a burden to me. I just thought, oh my God, this is so hard. This is so hard. How am I going to ever stop judging people? That's what I do. It's my only real hobby. Smoking and judging. These are my hobbies. Don't take them away. I literally said that. What am I going to do? These are my hobbies. And I literally used to say, people would say, do you have a hobby? And I'd be smoking and judging. Literally. That's how attached I was to my opinions. I literally used to say all the time, you ever need an opinion, just call me. I can always give you one. Because I was so identified with being the judger. But I made myself miserable with it. I was filled with self-loathing and self-hatred. And I didn't realize that the root cause of it was my constant need to attack. To judge, 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 judge. And that became actually one of the ways that I started to interrupt the pattern of judging, was I would be on this critical hamster wheel, just coming up with one judgment after another, whether it was towards myself or someone else. And I would sing that little song to myself. I would realize, oh, there I am again. And I would just start saying in my mind, judge, 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 judge. Like the music they play at a baseball game. And then I could laugh. And I would get off that hamster wheel of judgment. So it's really challenging for us to understand that whatever the suffering we're experiencing, whatever the lack and limitation we're experiencing, we're the ones who are doing it to ourselves. That we need the blessing that we can offer to our brothers and sisters. And there's no way for us to have it except by giving it. A Course in Miracles tells us to have, give all to all. So to have an awareness that the kingdom is within. To have that awareness, that's what we're going for. Because seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. So everything that we think we want, everything that we think we need, will be added unto us if we're willing to recognize that we have the power to be that open door where love and light are flooding into this world. And this is our holy purpose. This is what it means to be truly helpful. It means to be of holy, meaning W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, loving person in this world. And we've trained ourselves to be completely judgmental, not completely loving. So we're doing a 180 here. But the good thing is that the only time it takes to have a healing is the time it takes to have a realization of truth. And how do we have a realization of truth? We say, I am willing. Holy Spirit, show me how. our higher self, the mighty I Am presence that Patricia was talking about yesterday, the higher self, the Holy Spirit, the I Am presence, the guardian angel, these are all names for the same thing. If we give the heavy lifting of figuring out how to have a healing, how to change our mind, how to be the open door, if we give all that to the higher self, the I Am presence, to lead us and guide us and teach us, we will be shown. In every moment of every day, we can make more loving choices towards ourselves and to others. And the way that we can have a miraculous life of healing and beauty and wonderful, powerful, holy relationships is through making that commitment to be the blessing, to bless our brothers and sisters regardless of how they're behaving. And it says here in A Course in Miracles, you need the blessing you can offer your brother. There is no way for you to have it except by giving it. This is the law of God, and it has no exceptions. What you deny, you lack. Not because it's lacking, but because you have denied it. So if we deny that healing is possible for ourselves or for someone else, we're going to experience it, not because healing is impossible, but because we are not allowing it. So much of this healing work is about us allowing the healing to happen. What you deny, you lack, not because it's lacking, but because you have denied it in another and are therefore not aware of it in yourself. Every response you make is determined by what you think you are, and what you want to be is what you think you are. What you want to be then must determine every response you make. So, every response you make is determined by what you think you are. So if you think you're not good enough, if you think you're a loser, if you think you're limited, if you think that you don't have what it takes, if you think that you can never succeed, your response to everything in the world is going to reflect that. It's going to reflect your belief in lack, limitation, and separation. So, we can say to the higher self, the Holy Spirit, the I Am presence, the guardian angel, whatever we'd like to call it, call upon the company of heaven and the masters and say, I am willing to have a healing. I recognize I have this belief in lack and limitation. I recognize I have this belief that I'm not good enough or that someone else is not good enough. And I have invested in this for a very long time, and I am now done with that. I'm no longer interested in investing in lack, attack, limitation, and separation anymore. Holy Spirit, take these thoughts out of my mind so I never think them again. And let anyone else who has these thoughts be relieved of them as well. As Patricia was talking about, you can invoke the violet flame, and that's just as good. It says in Chapter 11, Section 6, Paragraph 4, Jesus says, I am your resurrection and your life. You live in me because you live in God, and everyone lives in you as you live in everyone. It's another way of talking about the unity of all life. He says, can you then perceive unworthiness in a brother and not perceive it in yourself. So if you think something disparaging about your brother, won't you also find it in yourself because there's only one? And he says, and can you perceive the unworthiness in yourself and not perceive it in God? Believe in the resurrection because it has been accomplished, and it has been accomplished in you. This is true now as it will ever be. For the resurrection is the will of God, which knows no time and no exceptions. But make no exceptions for yourself, or you will not perceive what has been accomplished for you. For we ascend unto the Father together, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. For such is the nature of God's Son, as his Father created him. So he is calling us to rely upon him and to recognize that we are one with him. And as good as anybody might think that Jesus is, we are too. And this is what he's trying to show us. He says in chapter 12, section 2, paragraph 7, I will awaken you as surely as I awakened myself, for I awoke for you. In my resurrection is your release. Our mission is to escape from crucifixion, not from redemption. Trust in my help, for I did not walk alone, and I will walk with you as our Father walked with me. Do you not know that I walked with him in peace? And does that not mean that peace goes with us on the journey? So he is telling us in A Course in Miracles, he is with us always, and he means it literally. So one of the things that Patricia was talking about yesterday was the company of heaven, the beings of light. And my understanding is that there is this company of heaven, these beings of light, and that they are calling to us to come home. A Course in Miracles tells us that their pull is so strong that it will pull us up if we'll let it. We don't have to figure out how. This is the thing that if you take away one thing from this entire Living A Course in Miracles series, please take away this one thing, which is that the ego does not know how to have healing. The ego does not know how to love. The ego does not know how this world works. The ego will not have the answers to your questions. As long as you are in an experience of trying to figure things out or trying to understand them, you are looking at your life from the ego point of view, and you will not find the answer because the ego does not recognize the answer. Only the spirit knows what's real and true. Only the spirit knows the way out. Only the spirit knows how to have a healing. Only the spirit knows how to be prosperous. Only the spirit knows how to have a holy relationship. Only the spirit knows the way. And the spirit knows the way and knows the most direct route, which is instantaneous, miraculous healing. This is our inheritance. This is our birthright. It's ours now if we're willing. But we have to stop asking the ego to figure it out. So every single time you notice you're trying to figure something out, stop, pause, contact your higher Holy Spirit self, the I Am Presence, and simply ask, help me now. Show me now. I am willing. What is the most loving choice available now? What is the path of love here now? What am I to do now? And that's the truly helpful prayer on page 28. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent God who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because God who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever God wishes, knowing God goes there with me. I will be healed as I let God teach me to heal. That's our purpose, to simply be that open door of willingness. And in that is our resurrection, is our healing. So, in every moment, we have the opportunity to change our mind about anything that's bothering us. We have an opportunity to have a healing in every moment. And to see our brothers and sisters as they truly are, perfect, whole, complete. In every moment, we can open ourselves to the power and the presence of love. That's what A Course in Miracles calls the holy instant. A Course in Miracles tells us that the holy instant is truly the time of Christ. And it is in your power to make the time of Christ be now. This is what it says in the Course. The holy instant is truly the time of Christ. The holy instant is that moment when you really, really desire to be the open door, to know clearly the most loving choice, and you are 100% willing to be the loving expression, to extend love. That's the holy instant. That's the time of Christ. And Jesus tells us it is in your power to make the time of Christ be now, this very moment now. So the choice is ours in every moment. Now, what I found in my own experience of this is when I was intellectualizing my spiritual practice and the ego was running my spiritual practice, I would say, I know that. I know that. A teacher would tell me this, and I would say, I know that. And I thought, because I'd heard it before, I thought because I'd read it so many times or heard it so many times that I knew it. Over and over and over again, I would think, I know that. I know that. And I would also think, but there has to be something more. There has to be something more to it, because I know all this and it's not healing my life. I know all this and yet I'm still struggling to pay my bills. I know all this and I'm still having the same relationship problems that I've had for decades. I know all this and yet I'm still challenged. I still keep self-medicating. I still keep finding myself having too many glasses of wine or staying up way too late, eating and drinking and smoking and hurting myself, making myself sick and miserable until I pass out. Why am I still doing these things? If I know all this, there's something I must be missing. Maybe there's something just plain bad, evil, or wrong with me. Because I've been studying this for years. Why am I not getting it? Why am I still missing something? What's wrong with me? Why can't I get it? When I know it, I can teach it. I can recite chapter and verse. Why is the healing still eluding me? And you know, for spiritual students, who've been studying this for a long time, what happens is it becomes so uncool to still be struggling. It becomes so uncool to still have problems. Like, how long have you been taking these classes? You've done all these workshops. You've invested all this money. You got all these books. You read all these books. You're a spiritual know-it-all. Why aren't you happy yet? Why are you still trying to tell others what to do? People are looking at us, and we're looking at ourselves, and we're saying, what is wrong with you? You've put so much into this, and yet you're certainly not succeeding. You're still failing. And so what happens then is a lot of spiritual students become spiritual teachers, but they feel secretly like a failure. And then the judgment really starts to take on a gnarly effect. Because then what happens is you have spiritual teachers or spiritual students who are pretending to be happier than they are, pretending to be more whole than they feel. They're pretending to be more prosperous than they are. They're pretending to be more loving than they are. And the implosion begins, and people are suffering even more because now they're ashamed of their suffering. So it's like a double whammy. And I talk about this to bring it to the light because that was a real problem for me. I judged myself for judging myself. I was afraid to let anybody know what was really going on with me because I was so ashamed that I had been studying and studying and studying, that I was a spiritual know-it-all, but I wasn't living it all. I didn't understand that knowing it all and living it all are really two very, very different things. And the truth of the matter is, and this is what A Course in Miracles says to us on almost every page, you don't know it unless you live it. If you think you know it, but you're not living it, you don't know it. It's like, if you know that practicing the presence, being a loving presence, will heal your life and bring you joy and make you a beneficial presence in this world, but your life is not healed, you're not living in joy, and you're not a beneficial presence in this world, then whatever you think you know, you don't actually know. Because that's what I found for myself is, once I was really willing to live it, then I began to experience it in a whole new way where I began to actually know it. Because once you really know the truth that sets you free, you don't want to make any other choices. That's the only choice you want to make. And the thing is, for most of us, is we fall down all the time. But it's not about the falling down. It really is about how do we pick ourselves up. It's the quality of the picking ourselves up. So for me, it was about being able to pick myself up with love, compassion, and kindness. So I would be unkind, unloving, judgmental, self-medicating, self-sabotaging. And when I realized what I was doing, I would say, Jennifer, darling, sweetheart, we can start again right now in this moment. We didn't see it a moment ago, but we're seeing it now. Let's just start again now. We're going to start with being loving now. So the most loving thing I can do now is not judge myself for what I did 5 seconds ago, 5 minutes ago, 5 hours ago, 5 days ago. Let me just start with right now. You see, and this is what Jesus, in all his teachings, whether it's the teachings of A Course in Miracles or the teachings in the Holy Bible, in all his teachings, It's always about some version of the prodigal son coming home. You know, whether it's take up your bed and walk, which is basically forget the past. Now is the opportunity to release yourself. Release yourself now, take up your bed and walk. With the prodigal son, you're living with the pigs, you're sleeping with the pigs, you're fighting them for scraps, you've squandered everything, you've made the meaning that you've wasted your inheritance. Just go home now and be a servant in your father's house. You'll do better than what you're doing now. You'll just go right home. It's the parable of the day laborers, right? Whenever you come, you'll get the full load of pay. It's always about just go home now. Choose love now. You'll get the full load now. Now is the time. Now is the time. Because God is a now system. So we can only be the open door now. And it seems like, well, I don't have enough training. I've got all this history. I've got all these false beliefs. The heavy lifting will be done by the higher Holy Spirit self if you let the heavy lifting be done. It's only our attachments to playing small, to living in judgment, to living in hurt and blame and shame that keep us circulating that and keep dropping the same thing on the pond and the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. So whether we are sending it out into the world about a brother or sister or whether it's about ourselves, we're still dropping that thought on the pond of the one mind, and it's going to ripple out, and we're always going to feel the strongest vibration of it. Now, one of the things I think it's so important for us to understand, I'm going to be wrapping up here, is that as Patricia was talking about, we are being called to be the light of the world now. And the many, many spiritual students think, I don't have what it takes to be the light of the world. I got all these issues. Forget that you have issues. Just be willing to forget that you have issues and you won't have them anymore. Let the dead bury the dead, Jesus said. So one of the things that Patricia and I did last fall was she participated in the series that I did last fall called How to Stop Playing Small for Lightworkers. And to help us all activate more in the present moment and feel empowered in the present moment. And all of those classes are free. They're still free. They are on the events page at jenniferhadley.com. So just go to jenniferhadley.com, go to the events page, and scroll down, and you will see the Stop Playing Small Summit. And all those classes are free, including Patricia's class. She had a meditation she did then. And those classes are really helpful, particularly for anyone who's interested in being what I call a lightpreneur, an entrepreneur who's a spiritual student. So there are so many of us who are in light worker professions. And the whole purpose of that summit was empowering people to stop playing small and to really go for it. And that's a huge part of what my ministry is all about, is supporting people in living a spiritual profession if they'd like to. I'm so interested in helping people do that and feeling successful, being successful. And so I encourage people to do that. And in our Living A Course in Miracles Facebook group, I invite you to declare, what's your intention? What's your intention for healing? What's your intention for being the open door? Let's explore that. Let's inspire each other. Let's encourage each other in that Facebook group. To me, that's what Facebook is for, inspiring and encouraging each other. Sharing the light and the love. What else could it be for? And it's such a great tool for us as light workers. On the homepage at jenniferhadley.com, there's a free workshop, and it's called How to Get Over It. A Course in Miracles tells us that forgiveness is the number one tool we have in our awakening. So people are often looking for the secret code that opens the door. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness is non-judgment. And so that free How to Get Over It forgiveness workshop, did I mention it's free? I'm telling you, what I'm inviting you to do is to go download it, get it. There's a video, there's a handout, there's a book excerpt, there's all kinds of pieces that come with it. It's all free for you. Get it and then invite a few people over to your house and say, let's go through this workshop together. Let's do all the pieces of it together. Let's make an afternoon of it. Let's make an evening of it or a morning of it, you know, and bring some food and have a potluck. And you can pause the audio. You can print out the handouts and just go for it. Because many people don't understand forgiveness. And forgiveness is our way out of hell. I break it down, I make it easy for you, and I give you the tools so that you can actually have some healing. Many, many people have written to tell me that How to Get Over It workshop was a turning point in their lives. Because you can, any energy that you're investing on holding on to guilt, shame, blame, regret, and resentments about the past, even jealousy about the past, you can heal that by doing the processes in this workshop. Now, I just want to be clear. Listening to the workshop and looking at the pieces that are there, that won't heal your life. But if you do the processes and you have some like-minded souls that you're doing it with and you can pause the audio and talk about it and really get into it, you will have tremendous healing. Many people have written to tell me that that was the case for them. It's free. Please take advantage of it. Another thing that can support people in just living the practice of love is I write inspiration every day, and I have record a new prayer every day. And you can download those prayers. You can listen to the prayers. You can call the prayer line. It's free. And all that is free for you every day. I call it my spiritual espresso and my prayer for today. Those are free for you to sign up for at jenniferhadley.com. And then I'd like to just tell you briefly, I have some events coming up and that you might be interested in. So I'm going to be telling you by email about the things in Atlanta, but I'm going to be doing some workshops in Atlanta August 13th, I'm going to be joining some A Course in Miracles groups there, August 9th, and August 14th, I think also August 11th. So there's a bunch of different things there in Atlanta that I'll be giving you the details about. I'm going to be in England in early September, and I'm going to be doing a sacred sites tour, 5 days, 4 nights, in and around Salisbury, Bath, Glastonbury, Avebury. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we have a limited number of spaces. So if you're interested in that, the early bird price is still on. Go to the events page at jenniferhadley.com for the Sacred Sites Tour in the UK. And then immediately following that is my spiritual counseling intensive training. It's a week-long training for anybody who's interested in developing their counseling skills. And if you are a coach or a therapist or anyone that needs to get continuing education or continuing licensing units, something like that, we can help you get them by taking that intensive. And we've had therapists, psychologists, social workers, life coaches, executive coaches, and people who have no coaching experience, all kinds of people have taken the spiritual counseling intensive. And every single one of them has told me that it was a profoundly beautiful experience for them. So you can read about that at jenniferhadley.com. There's the intensive that's in England starting in Salisbury, starting September 6th. And then there's one in Thailand that starts, I think it's November 6th. So at a beautiful, beautiful resort in Thailand. I like to find places where we can get away and be in a beautiful place, a spiritual place, and really change our environment and come together and have a lot of fun while doing our deep healing work. And then also I'm doing in Thailand in November, Self-Love and Extreme Pampering. That's a week-long retreat the week before Thanksgiving. So that's, I think it's the November 12th or 13th to the 20th or something like that in Thailand. Self-Love and Extreme Pampering, a week of doing deep healing in the area of self-love, and then just having Thai massages and treatments and going swimming and exploring delicious food, shopping. I like to see, let's just make a celebration of our life. And we always have such a great group of people that people make very good friends, and even some people fall in love. All kinds of things happen on our retreats. And then I have some weekend retreats. So I have a weekend retreat, Columbus Day weekend in North Carolina, up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We're doing a Living A Course in Miracles weekend. And then the following weekend is a forgiveness weekend. And then New Year's Eve weekend, New Year's reboot. So those are three retreats in North Carolina. So these are all opportunities for you to do some deep healing work with me. And on Saturday this week, I'll be telling you about my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp for Living A Course in Miracles. For those who really are ready to live it and would like to jumpstart that practice, my Spiritual Boot Camp class will be starting in August. So I'll be doing an intro about that on Saturday, July 30th, as part of this free series. All right. So I am grateful and thankful to Patricia for leading the way on this being the open door. And what I know is I feel like my own door is opening every day, even more and more. My life is more joyful every day. And this is what I desire for you. And so we are going to close us out here with a prayer. And I would like to share one more thing here. Patricia was talking about the Masters of Wisdom and Light, the planetary hierarchy, the company of heaven. One of the things that I know about these beautiful beings who hold the space for us is, and this is what Jesus tells us too in A Course in Miracles, that they can't do it for us unless we're asking for help. Now, if we're asking for help only to end our suffering, the impetus is not as strong as if we are asking for help and assistance because we'd like to be the light of the world. We'd like to remember our true identity. We'd like to honor our Creator. We'd like to be as we are intended to be. We'd like to be a truly helpful, beneficial presence. When we move into that space and we say, Jesus, help me now. Spirit, help me now. I am willing to be that open door. I am willing to be the light of the world. Then all of heaven organizes to support us. And there is a lesson in A Course in Miracles that most people don't even notice. I tell you, I have never, ever once talked to a Course in Miracles student who said, I love that lesson too. That lesson was so helpful to me. And this comes right at the halfway point in the course. It's lesson 183, and it's entitled, I Call Upon God's Name and My Own. And it begins with, God's name is holy, but no holier than yours. To call upon God's name is but to call your own. A father gives his son his name, and thus identifies the son with him. His brothers share his name, and thus they are united in a bond to which they turn for their identity. Your father's name reminds you who you are, even within a world that does not know, even though you have not remembered it. So when we call God's name, all this comes with that calling. We can call God's name simply by saying, I am that I am. We can call God's name by simply saying, God. God, I am that I am. It goes on to say, God's name cannot be heard without response, nor said without an echo in the mind that calls you to remember. Anytime we call God's name, we will get a response. That's what it's saying to us every single time. So how many times a day could you call the name of God and just say, God? You didn't even have to say, God, help me. God, teach me. God, show me. Just God. You can call God love, life, universe, higher self, Holy Spirit, guardian angel, holy, holy, holy. We don't have to get hung up on the name. A Course in Miracles tells us words are but symbols of symbols. Everything in this world is symbolic. It's a projection of the mind. So call the name of God, it says, and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought that would intrude upon your holiness. I'm going to read that one more time. Say God's name and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought that would intrude upon your holiness. So this is the opportunity that you have in every moment to align with Spirit. It's not complicated. What it's saying there is when we call the name of God, when we remember that we're part of God, that we're one with God, that we're one with all life and all love, when we're willing to remember that, the angels will surround us and run interference so that we can only hear the voice of God instead of hearing the voice for ego. What a simple, loving practice. We don't need any special equipment. It doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to take any classes or remember a sacred chant. Just call the name of God in whatever way that makes sense to you. And by your intention, the angels will surround you. If you like, say, angels, surround me now. I've been listening to the ego. It's not helping me. I'm willing to be the light of the world. I am willing to be the open door. I am willing to do it and be it and see it and hear it and feel it now. I claim my inheritance now. I'm going home right now in my heart to seek first the kingdom and to allow everything to be added unto me now. I won't wait. I won't delay. Now is the time. Very simple practice. You can do it in 3 to 5 seconds. And everything will be added unto you. It's a simple practice. Jesus means it literally, not metaphorically. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and join with me right now as we call the name of God. Beloved, I am that I am. So grateful and so thankful to recognize that I am worthy and all are worthy of living in our true identity and remembering the truth that sets us free. We are grateful and thankful to claim our wholeness, to claim this life of love, to claim it fully and completely now. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts and minds to infinite love intelligence, leading us and guiding us. We are willing to see and know and feel and recognize the most loving choices in every moment. In deep abiding gratitude, we walk the talk, we live the love, we share the benefits with everyone because we are one with them. We are grateful and thankful to be the open door which no one can shut. We are grateful and thankful that in the mind of the infinite, it's already done. In gratitude, we allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. 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 I love you. Thank you for joining with me. God bless you. I can't wait for our class tomorrow. More to come. Mwah!
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.